This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, motor works, rental works, yeah! The big dog's got it!
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
You hear him every single day right here on Jocks 94.5. See him on the SEC Network and ESPN. Welcome in, Feinbaum. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to talk with you. We'll get to the football very quickly, but you're a golf guy as well. Tiger Woods being in the mix of another major, this back-to-back majors now, where he was right in the thick of it, was fun to watch yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was extraordinary. And, you know, I think it's great for sports. I'm still of the opinion that, you know, he'll win a major somewhere, but you know, this is the second time he's been in contention where he's made a mistake, and I know that sounds like I'm being critical here, but I am. I mean, Tiger Woods didn't make these mistakes 10 years ago. He just went ahead and wrapped up these majors. But, you know, the bottom line is that he was not the best golfer out there yesterday. Koepka was just truly unbelievable, and if he could have knocked in some short putts down the stretch, he would have won by six.
I know we want to get into the Maryland situation, but as Dunaway said, it's decision week in Columbus. How do you think it plays out this week?
I mean, it has gotten so utterly confusing up there that I think all that he said, she said, favors Urban Meyer. And in the end, I think he will survive. I don't think there is an appetite at that university to get rid of one of the iconic coaches in modern college football history. And I'm not sure right now there's enough credible evidence to do so. It's a judgment decision the university will have to make, and I think all signs point to Urban Meyer being reinstated either scot-free with some penalty, and of course the Urban mea culpa that he made mistakes, but he still has his job.
What do you make of this Jeff Snook guy and all of his reporting and pointing the finger saying Tom Herman was the source for Brett McMurphy, and then both of those guys denying that?
Well, I mean, I think it certainly cloudies the picture a great deal. I don't know him. I've never heard of him until recently. But if you're going to take one side of the story literally, you have to look at the other side. And I think that's all any of us can do. And you know, clearly McMurphy's reporting has come under vicious attack. And I don't know enough right now to say, you know, whether this guy is credible or not. I do think there has been some just absolutely unbelievably bad reporting in this on all sides. So, and I think that also plays to it, Jim. When the situation is so confusing, it gives the university more of a green light to just say, listen, we have a mess here. We're going to rectify it by instituting all these things that universities normally do at a point like this.
Paul Feinbaum is with us. He joins us each week courtesy of the team at Craneworks, the group to call for crane and equipment rental, a fixture on our show. And that big dog has been on our city skyline for years. Then brings Feinbaum, Tom Luganville, and John Parker Wilson every single week. On to the other scandal in the Big Ten, Paul. And, I mean, this is remarkable to me that we're less than 3 weeks now from kick, and there are two Big Ten coaches on leave, and the other one is DJ Durkin. And I agree with you. I think Meyer saves his job. I'm not certain about DJ Durkin here. This feels like it's going in the wrong direction for him, and maybe rightfully so.
Yeah, when the president of the university issues a statement saying the information that he has seen is profoundly disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't think you really need to poll the jury any longer. I think it's come in, and I do not believe he will be back. And you're talking about a serious situation here, just like we are at Ohio State. Unfortunately, in this case, you know, we've seen, you know, someone die, and I think that makes it more complex. And the fact that Will Muschamp stood up for him is magnanimous on Will Muschamp's part, out of friendship. But I really was dumbfounded by his logic and his reasoning, and maybe it comes as a result of me being in journalism all my life, but, you know, for him to attack anonymous sources is just purely purely being tone deaf. I mean, that's unfortunately or fortunately the way the business works. And presidents have been overthrown because of anonymous sources. It doesn't make every anonymous source right. But in this case, I think Will Muschamp was ill-advised to stand up for his friend. I mean, this was the wrong time to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I went back and listened again to the question and the answer. I think Will misunderstood the entire question and the situation there. I think he was addressing verbal abuse and that kind of stuff that DJ Durkin's accused of too, and it seems like he got caught not realizing that someone had died in that situation. You know, it's a horrible look for Will.
Yeah, it is, Jim, and I think I know him, and you know him, and he's really a good person and a good coach, but he's going to take some hits on this because it looks like, you know, he's defending the indefensible here. And, you know, coaches always get caught up in that, and so do people like us. I mean, you know, when our friends are being attacked, we tend to want to stand up. But this was one time when just attacking the process is wrong. I mean, I know the reporters on this case, and they're as sound and as unbiased as you can find.
Paul, later in the show, we're going to go team by team in the SEC, and we're going to give our record prediction for 2018. When I take a look at Tennessee, I mean, the deck is stacked against Jeremy Pruitt in year one, just looking at the schedule. If I asked you right now, bowl or not for Tennessee in year one under Pruitt?
I'm interviewing Jeremy in a couple hours. Is there any chance you could withhold my answer until after that interview?
Oh, I think he knows, Paul.
I don't think they're going to a bowl. And, I mean, there's a path to six wins, but, I mean, it's complicated. And what I don't know is what those players on campus look like that we haven't really seen much of. And there are a couple of JUCOs and Chris and others. But it really comes down to I don't think they'll win the first game. Although that opinion could change. It's just, you know, West Virginia – is a team I would not want to invest much of my own money on, but I think it's going to come down to their ability to beat Florida at home. And Florida is a wild card too. I mean, it's a winnable game, but I think without beating Florida at Neyland Stadium early in September, they will be seriously and severely challenged to get to a bowl game.
For whatever it's worth, Paul Feinbaum with us. This is worth a lot. He's presented by Craneworks.
Yeah, it is.
For whatever it's worth, Paul, the four primo games the SEC has week one, and you're just talking about Tennessee. So Alabama's a prohibitive favorite against Louisville. It's hard to see them losing that. Tennessee, it's not a huge underdog, but they're a pretty big underdog against West Virginia. It's kind of hard to see them winning that. So you got toss-ups with Washington, Auburn, and LSU, Miami. Let's just say it trends badly for the SEC, or it trends very well for the SEC. What do you think? Those games are big enough that there'll be a national narrative created out of those four games about the SEC this year?
Of course there will be. You have a lot of people on your show, and I work with a lot of people that cannot wait for that narrative to be formulated, and I think it will. It's very likely that will happen. What disturbs me more is that this may be the least impressive group of opening weekend games that I am familiar with. I mean, 2 years ago, we were just salivating over that opening weekend. Of course, I don't want to take anything away from next year's epic Alabama-Duke game, but I'm officially done with these neutral site games. I know that wasn't the question, but the answer to your question is the narrative will be pretty ugly. The only good thing is it will take a while to formulate because it won't be Sunday morning, because the LSU-Miami game will probably be the trigger game of them all.
That's true. We've got to wait till Tuesday for that one, for that narrative at least. The game is obviously Monday. Paul, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Pleasure, guys. See you next week.
All right, take care. Feinbaum with us every single Monday, courtesy of Crane.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
Works.